What's the password?
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Welcome in to the To The Point Home Services VIP room, where we invite you, the listeners in, to hang alongside some of the biggest, baddest, and most successful VIPs of the home services industries. You never know which surprise guest will show up next. So let's get this party started.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Point Home Services VIP room, and we have a VIP in the room today. I'm excited to share him with you. You guys might have heard him on a few other podcasts. And who knows, if you're down in Texas, you've been to church, you might have heard him in church once in a while, once or twice. But AG, I got one co-host on here today because Chad ditched. Now, I'm not going to talk any smack because you guys held it down for me last week, and I appreciate that.
Really glad to see that, and your voice is doing well today.
Yeah, it's because it's numb, you know, because I had an ENT appointment this morning, and they put that numbing stuff up your nose, and they shoved this, like, tube down. It sounds amazing. So I can't feel my teeth, or, like, my face is all numb right now. And my throat was hurting before I went in, but now it doesn't hurt because it's numb. So let it rip on here. And it sounds like our guest has got the sniffles. We've got Bubba Thurman on here today, who's the president of Baker Brothers Plumbing, Air, and Electrical down in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Bubba, it's good to finally get you on. I know it's my fault. I think I've had this book like four times with you. We finally made it happen, but we're excited to have you on the show, brother.
Hey, today's the day. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, before we get into anything, you know, there's something that was brought up to me last week that, you know, I used to do the dad jokes, you know, early on. And then I started doing some idioms like, you know, idioms are, you know, and I stopped. I just kind of forget to do them. But one came up. And because I know that you are an avid hunter, as am I, Bubba, and you usually, the last time I talked to you, you get your, you know, deer heads up on the wall behind you, but you're in a different location right now. And I thought, what a good idiom that came to mind today as I was thinking through this. And this literally came to me as I was driving from my ENT appointment to here because a song came on the radio by an old classic country called Bluegrass E Band by the name of Alabama. I'm sure you guys have heard of them. And there's a part in Alabama, there's a song called Mountain Music. Okay, so listen, Aaron, okay, I know we grew up a little differently. I'm looking at the country side of things. So, yes, I listen to a lot of Alabama. I listen to a lot of great hits. Yeah,
I know who Alabama is. I know who they are. But
okay.
I wouldn't say it was on – it's typically on my playlist, but I know who they are.
Well, there's a part of the song in Mountain Music that says, bending over, skinning cats. Skinning cats. And you get made me think of the idiom that is there's more than one way to skin a cat. Which sounds kind of morbid, right? So, but if you were a hunter or, you know, a frontiersman back in the, you know, mid 1800s, which neither of you were, but your ancestors probably were, then they talk about skinning cats. Well, it doesn't mean house cats, right? That's not what skinning cats meant. It meant that it was like bobcats and stuff. So hunters would skin, you know, the cats to use the fur. But what I found out in Alabama was that actually has nothing at all to do with skinning cats. And what it meant was they would bend over these old hickory trees because they didn't have playgrounds to play on. So they'd play on the trees. And I guess the way that the bark is or something on the trees would cut them all up and skin them up and stuff like that. I don't know. They're two completely different versions. But the version of more than one way to skin a cat, the popular way of saying it, there's more than one way to accomplish a goal or a task. That's what today's term means. So fun fact is, more than one way to skin a cat dates back to the mid 1800s. And I figured that would make sense to you, Bubba.
It does. I actually thought that song, growing up in Texas, I thought that meant skinning catfish.
That would actually make a lot of sense.
Yeah. You brought a whole different perspective to it, but I thought about skinning catfish.
I'm not 100% sure that I even understand still how they come up with skinning cats means like you were hanging on trees and you're getting, you know, marked. I don't know. I can't connect the dots on it, but whatever. That was a couple minutes of your guys' life that you'll never get back. So you're welcome to that. I want to go and jump into this too, because it's interesting that I think Baker Brothers was either 1944, 1945, somewhere around there was originally established. Is that right, Bubba?
Yeah, 1945.
Super well-known, well-respected, you know, big brand down in Texas. And, you know, joined the Wrench Group back in 2017. And if you guys don't know who Jimmy Dale is, like, Jimmy Dale is a predecessor for Bubba, like, fantastic human being. Still never been on this podcast. I got to get him on here.
Yeah, me too.
Great guy. I'd love to get him on here. Interesting, yo, Bubba, though you're president today, you're the first non-family president in that business. Is that right?
It is. You know, Jimmy's dad passed away recently, and I was asked to speak at his funeral. And that was one of the things that just saying that in front of that crowd, because Jim Dale, Jimmy's dad, was, you know, he was quite a character. And he, you know, they built a legacy business, three generations. Jimmy's grandfather, Jimmy's dad, then Jimmy. And that was something that I pointed out at his service, that I, you know, it was just an honor to be trusted by the family to kind of be at the helm of something that they put their heart and soul in for, you know, a long time.
Yeah, pretty honorable position to be in. What a cool moment for you to be able to have that, to be able to do that. You know, that's pretty good. Especially what's kind of interesting is, you know, I introduced you guys right before we got started, but prior to Baker Brothers, I mean, you were in ministry for like what, a couple decades or something, like a youth pastor in ministry.
22 years full time. And this will be my 14th anniversary here this coming year.
Yeah, that's and what size is Baker Brothers today? Just out of curiosity, I have no idea.
We have a little over 400 employees. We're, you know, slated to do about $110 million this year revenue.
Yeah, got it. So super, obviously crazy competitive market. I competed against you guys for a while because Berkey's was a customer of mine. This is, you know, in a prior life, right? But never got to work with you guys directly, but always respected kind of having to fight against you. And then last week, another one of your guys down there, you know, we had Josh Campbell on, good friend of ours, you know, so it's cool to have him on. I'm bummed I had to miss that episode because, I mean, we're all friends. So it was like, that was gonna be a fun episode. I had to miss it. And I gave gave Aaron and Chad free reign to bust my chops while I wasn't there to defend myself.
Yeah, Josh is a good dude.
It was fun to catch up with old Nextar buddy through Josh. And we just saw Josh a couple weeks ago too. So, and you mentioned that you have a good relationship with Josh and you guys talk probably every week or so. So that's great to hear that people in the marketplace stay friends. And even through the private equity model of each of you sold to different companies, that you stay pulse, you have communication and stay connected. So that was great to just hear some of that from you today too. I think sometimes you think different ways and then you kind of, the communication relationships break, especially in a really competitive market like Dallas, right?
Yeah, Josh and Gus both are just great partners. Like, you know, we're both in the trenches. Obviously we compete against each other, but I think our friendship supersedes all that. And we try to, you know, sharpen each other even. But, you know, it's definitely good to call guys outside of this building sometimes when you feel like, man, we're not getting calls or what's going on. You know, there's a sense of reassurance like, hey, we're in the same boat here. And I actually spent some time with Josh up in Connecticut not long ago. We were at a conference together, flew home together. And so really got to hang out with him a little more than I normally do. Had dinner. And just really have a lot of respect for both him and Gus. You know, they just are high character guys. They do things the right way. They care about their people. And, you know, so when we're, you know, having an issue here in our market, it's really great to go, hey, I'm not crazy. You know, they're having the same thing. So we kind of do a Monday check in usually. How's it going? How are calls? And that probably would surprise a lot of people, to be honest. But for me, that's, you know, really important to have guys outside of our building that kind of keep me grounded.
What kind of conversation did you guys have in those? Like if you're able to share, like, cause you're basically saying you're kind of open about the stuff that you're dealing with in the moment. And so do you have that weekly check? It means like, these are like pretty current topics that you're dealing with or current situations.
Yeah. We talk about like calls a lot. Like, you know, we've had some headwinds in the industry in general, but our market in particular is just super crowded. It's so competitive. And so we kind of check in on each trade, sometimes, you know, Gus will send a text and go, hey, you guys have any electrical calls today, or how's plumbing doing, or, you know, calls in general. That's kind of the check-in, but we talk about other things. I mean, they've been texting me since I sat down on this call, and, you know, we check in and go, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? Like, they're both guys who, you know, are grounded in their faith. And so, that's kind of a cool thing too. And I've known Gus, I met Josh through the business, but I've known Gus prior even to coming to work for Jimmy. I knew Gus, we live like a mile apart, knew each other in the community, and actually, you know, would meet occasionally for lunch or breakfast. And so I've known Gus for, gosh, probably over 20 years now.
I think that's interesting to know, that for people to keep hearing this story, as even as these relationships scale and the businesses are Gus private, other guys gone equity, you're running one in there, that the relationships are there, that, and they're important to have this open flow in your market. Cause I don't, you know, I wouldn't say that many of us always do that, especially in our own market. A lot of times you're connected with people in other areas, but I guess Dallas, Fort Wayne area is a giant area, right? With a lot of stuff. And so is that just three guys that come up, know each other, and just would rather see the three of you guys win than anybody else, and you stay on the same pulse? Like,
We're pretty open, like, about what we're doing, and not in a way that, you know, we're not doing anything detrimental to the business. But even with Gus's team, Gus has had me over to speak at his company, and, you know, that's crazy. He brought me in to speak on their family day, and, you know, I'm in front of all his 500 employees doing a talk, just nothing to do with, like, business. And we have a gentleman's agreement. Like, I would never poach anybody from Josh or Gus, and they would feel the same way. If someone applies, Gus will call me and go, hey, what's going on? This person, you know, showed up over here, and I would do the same. If somebody comes here from Milestone, I'll call him and go, hey, what's the story here? Is this somebody, do you care if they leave, or do you want me to pass? Or, you know, we just kind of have a really cool gentleman's agreement. I think the commonality, we've all been very involved in Certain Path, used to be SGI. We've all kind of met through that. And so, you know, about twice a year we go to expo and go to dinner and hang out. And so I think it's something that just kind of feeds to continue the conversation. Even though we're competitors, I think it's good to sharpen just leadership. Like, what book are you reading? You know, what are you learning? What kind of, you know, if you do anything new in the market? Like, and if y'all have had Gus on or interact with him a lot, I mean, he's an idea just guru. He just constantly thinks outside the box. And I love to pick his brain. Like, hey, what are you seeing? What are you doing? And, you know, he's pretty open. Like, I've even interacted with their general manager on certain things, like how we're doing. We just exchanged, you know, communication just on underground work the other day, because we see our market. There's people in our market that are doing, like, lifetime warranty now on underground sewer repairs. And so we're kind of like, hey, it's a limited lifetime warranty. So I'm trying to get my head around what does that look like, you know? So I reached out to them and said, are y'all doing this? And if so, what are the conditions? And so they're pretty, you know, we're definitely not guarded against, I don't feel like, you know, there is anything malicious. Obviously we're competing in the same market, but we can still sharpen each other and not, you know, do anything detrimental to the business. So it's just a great camaraderie.
Yeah. Iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think those are important for people to think about if they haven't reached out to people in their market or build friends with people in the industry. And even that, I've got a chance to visit Gus at Milestone. Just a great guy. Saw him in New York, I don't know, maybe a few months ago. We even texted and said, we should reconnect. We haven't talked in a while. Genuinely just great guy. Yeah. So, and I'm glad to finally get a chance to meet you, because I know those two guys and never got a chance to meet or hear from you. I think one thing we do want to know is a little bit more about, I guess, probably jump into Baker. We jumped right into this random relationship, right, conversation, but maybe sharing a little bit of the story of what you're doing today. What are you guys up against? You're in a major market. You know, what are you thinking about today at $100 million business? Sounds like me and you are pretty much the exact same business size, employees, everything. So I'm curious for myself. I'm going to be selfish on this one, Chris. I'm curious to think, like, at this size and operating your business today, Like, what are you thinking about? Like, what's the most important thing for you every day when you show up and you're trying to grow this business to whatever your goals are right now, operating this business, besides just networking and asking questions about call volumes? What are you doing in the business today?
Yeah. So I really think the most glaring thing that I would say to that, it's relevant to, you know, obviously we have the same size business. There's a lot of symmetry, but what I see is AI and what AI is doing in the background. I've been real curious about that. And so my takeaway is that AI is creating exposure. So nothing's hidden. Like there's no, you know, you're not able to manipulate reviews. You're not able to hide a traffic, you know, incident. You're just going to be exposed. And so I think we can do one of two things. We can hide from it or we can embrace it. And so the message from me to our company is that we truly have always said that we want to be the best. Like our BHAG's to be the best service company in the world. And, you know, every day we got to uphold that. Every call, every customer matters more than ever, because if AI is going to be, you know, price transparency, bad reviews, lawsuits, any of that stuff is now going to be front and center because of AI. And so I think what we have to do is just be better than anybody else. And so that's kind of been our focus lately, is we want to be good drivers. We want to be safe. We want to be dressed properly. We want to, all the small things, you know, we've talked about them for years, but I think they're becoming more and more important that we actually execute at a really high level, because sentiment is really going to matter, I think, in the next 18 months as AI becomes more of a search engine. And so we're really focused on, like, hey, who are we really? Like, let's not, you know, try to pretend, or let's, if we're going to be like a four, you know how restaurants are rated on price. You see the little dollar signs at the bottom. And I think Google's already calling behind and going, hey, what service did you have done? What did you pay for it? If you don't mind me asking, they're already gathering data on price. Well, you guys know this as well as I do, man. I it's hard to give a price over the phone for a plumbing issue, right? You just don't know what's going on. And so it's always been standard to go, let us get a technician out and then we'll tell you. But we're getting more and more pressure to give a price. Like, we have people call and go, hey, what would it cost me to replace a 4-ton air conditioner? And instead of like resisting that, I think we got to lean in and go, hey, what can we price over the phone? We've sold water heaters over the phone forever. That's been our strategy. And now we're kind of going, hey, what items can we completely talk about on the phone? And so I think AI is really changing that, and it's causing me to be reflective into, hey, instead of like, you know, going, oh God, AI is going to expose everything, I'm going, this is a great opportunity for us to literally, when they go do that search, to be top, you know, in the market, to be really good. And, you know, those guys are good operators. Josh is a good operator. There's several in the market that are really sharp. And so I know that I'm going to have to be really good to compete in this market. And so I think before, you could go buy calls, right? You could go put money into Google. And obviously the ROI has changed drastically on that. I mean, it's become a deal where you can go spend 10 grand and go, we need electrical calls. You might just as well go give $10,000 to a homeless person. Some days you go get 10 grand more and it doesn't generate one call. And so, man, that is something, the way we go to market, I would say, is a big deal. I'm a little worried about that. And I say worry, I'm not worried. I'm concerned enough to go, hey, what could we do different? Is there something disruptive in regard to how we market ourselves? And I do think there's a movement toward partnering with communities, sponsoring football teams, being visible, that I think has more teeth than it did 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And so I think, you know, PPC, you know, LSA, all that stuff's changing drastically. And I think it's AI at the end of the day. When does AI become the primary search engine? You know, that's kind of what is on the front of my mind. And I hope I didn't over answer.
No, that's great. No, I think this is a topic people don't think about a lot. And I've been, Chris has probably heard me beating on this drum a little bit too. Like, people are always like, AI in my business. Yeah. I'm more worried about AI in the search. and how you show up and how you're relevant, right? Because AI in the business is inevitable. Most of our companies we do software with will find tools and resources to help us, whether you're a Service Titan or Broccoli or Avoca or whoever, right? We're supposed to use sponsors, sorry. But you know, all of them are going to help kind of navigate that. The one place that you're on your own is in this place, right? And that's still the traditional deliver great service, your pricing alignment, how you structure your site, how you structure your pricing model, how you do pricing online, how you do all these things. And I do believe that you need to lean into this or you will be erased. And I do think there's a big movement in the AI area. And I think you hit something there great too. Is people still want to feel part of something. And I think community presence is building again because there's a lot of this old fragmented area and all this different, you know, social stuff. And now it's like, oh, did you sponsor my local football team or the community, the high school? Or like we have our name on billboards at some of the local high schools. And some of the local schools and stuff, right? We started doing some of that the last couple of years. We probably could do a lot more, but you're starting to see some of that start to find its way back in many different ways as this machine is changing. So I imagine Chris has a lot more thoughts on this due to his background and experience. But I'm aligned with that. I think those are great thoughts. And I'd like to pick your brain a little more. But Chris, what do you got on this?
No, I'm just going to say I'm 100% on board with this grassroots stuff. You know, on the roofing side of the business for Chad and I's company, that's like what we did right out the gate was we hit all the local high schools, the parades, the, you know, the Lions group or the BNIs, all the stuff that everybody doesn't want to do. But relationships matter so much and it's not a quick fix. So you just got to do it and let it build and run. And you know, I'm a big believer in all those things. And I just want to address the PPC piece of it. It's so nice to be able to hear that from my seat today because now I'm like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Not my problem. but I did just pump a shitload of money into PPC for my own business at Redbird Roofing. So, but I also hedge my bet on who's running it for me so I know what I got. But I think that it's right. It has changed drastically. And my hope is that more people get scared to spend money because it's not like volume's gone. It's not gone. It's gotten more expensive, but people get nervous and don't spend money. Great. I'll continue to go down. As long as the numbers shake out and make enough sense to keep my board full, I'm fine. Now the LLMs, the large language models, the chats, the Claudes, the whatevers. Yeah. I've been paying attention to that for a long time now. And now they're rolling out the paid version of ChatGPT, which is the wave. So when we start talking about market share, that's when things are really going to start to push because people who are saying, I'm not going to do PPC, but it's like $100,000 minimum to put into it. But I'm going to let that thing figure itself out first before I jump into it because I don't know what that's going to look like either. And to drop, you know, $100,000 on the test scenario, I'm not sure I want to play that game just yet, especially because if you have good organic ranking. But you certainly should be paying it. Listeners, you should for sure be paying attention to it. The worst thing you can do is be like, don't get it, don't understand it. It's scary and you do nothing with it. Like that is the ultimate mistake to make because it's, you may sound good right here in the moment. You can ignore it. It's kind of like if you get in a fight with your spouse, you can't just keep ignoring it. Like the shit just builds behind the scene. Like you can't just ignore these things because you're scared of them or you don't know enough about it to make a decision or you don't know how to implement the things. You got to do something. Otherwise it's going to go move on without you. And so is market share, right? You're going to start to lose. Just the way it is. Like this isn't like a theory. This is fact. You guys agree?
I agree. I agree. So I'd like to follow up though on something that you said either because like you said, it exposes a lot of stuff AI does because the way it searches and did stuff. So right now when you're bringing that stuff and I heard you mention customer sentiment, which I think is a metric people need to start to really understand. And it's not really a metric that can be measured because it doesn't have a star rating. It's just customer sentiment. Trying to figure out how you can measure that. But as you went through this with I'm assuming you've talked to your leadership and you're having all these conversations throughout the organization. Where are you starting? How about that? Where are you starting through this journey to help anybody include, like I'm interested. So where are you starting in this journey to work through that? Like, are you starting in customer sentiment? Are you starting through search?
We kind of got a whole docket of stuff. So we partner with a company called Peaksy. And one of the things that they do is provide like where we are in the market. Like they do a competitive analysis and it pulls everything out of AI. And so then it kind of tells us, you know, where we're good, where we're struggling. And I definitely think we're starting at the level of how are we trusted? Like, we want to be a trusted brand. We promise great service. We've been in business since 1945. We have a huge, we have, you know, 20,000 members. And so how do we maintain a level of trust? Like, we're not, I think too, another thing that we have to focus on is if we're going to be a four, you know, we're not the cheapest. We're not even the middle of the road. We're on the higher end price wise. And we have to deliver on that. Like, we have to provide service that equals what the investment is. And so I think there's a little bit of area right there to improve. I think we've had a couple, you know, misfires where somebody has, you know, posted that, hey, we're too expensive. And you know, I don't take that as we're too expensive. I take that as we failed to provide the value that we charged. And so I think that would be an area, but I definitely think customer sentiment, like, who are we, you know, who's Baker? What is our identity in the marketplace? And I think as AI becomes more prevalent, we have to tell our own story. Like, we have to get out there and blog and talk about who we are and share those things that I was talking about. Like, we're making a donation here. We're partnering with this organization here. I think people are attracted to that. You know, to know that literally, like, no, we're not crooks. We're not a ripoff. We're not, you know, the whole PE, non-PE thing has become a big topic. I see it every day. Somebody posts about it. And I always want to jump in, but I'm really hesitant to get, you know, into the comment sections. I'll just, like, bite my tongue. And I go, do we have a, I know this isn't true. There's a ton of PE companies. But I know here, have things changed? Yes, they have at certain levels. For the technician, for our core values, for how we go to market, no. Like, their pay plans haven't changed. Their manager, we haven't had any, like, major turnover. We haven't changed our, you know, mission, what we're trying to do. Or we're still taking care of people. Like, we're 100% customer satisfaction guaranteed. Like, if you're not happy, we'll give you your money back. And so I think we have to, instead of being defensive, I think we have to be offensive and tell our story to, you know, when AI goes and gets that information, we have to participate in going, hey, no, we're a good company. We're, you know, we have good values here. We do care about people. We want to do it the right way. We want to win the right way. And I think when you're up against, you know, people getting every piece of data possible, it's really easy for them to compile that and tell a story about who you are that's inaccurate or not fully the truth. So I do think that's probably priority number one, is to maintain our brand reputation and, you know, whatever we got to do to make sure people still trust Baker Brothers is really important. And then I think around the price stuff, I think we really have to be careful in how we present that. You know, how do we talk about, you know, whether we're, you know, top third of the market, top 10% in price, because you have to talk about things, and you understand this running a big organization. Dude, I mean, the value is we warranty our work. We won't leave you hanging. We'll come back 10 times if we have to get it right. And I think people do appreciate that. I tell people this all the time. I don't like to buy cheap things. Like, I'm not some wealthy person, but if I'm, you know, Chris is talking about hunting, I don't like cheap hunting gear. I don't go to Academy to buy a firearm. Like, I don't. I want a custom built rifle. I like nice guns. I like nice sporting equipment. I don't buy, you know, I don't go to a secondhand store to buy golf clubs. And, you know, I have a nice truck. I have a really nice diesel truck. And so I think there's a huge sentiment in our population who, you know, they'll appreciate that. I had this conversation with my friend. He's like, man, y'all's air conditioners are too expensive. And I'm like, bro, you drive a King Ranch F-350. Your wife drives an X7. You live in a gated neighborhood. And all of a sudden, you want to be cheap when it comes to buying an air conditioner. Like, nothing else in your life is cheap. But, you know, I think it's funny that sometimes that's what people do. And
well, I think it's like anything, people value things differently, right? You value what you buy for your hunting versus this. Majority of time, the home is the most biggest investment people make in their life, right? And the largest payment that they're paying every month, and they should want to invest in good equipment. But let me ask you this question on the follow-up is like, how'd you get down this journey? What sent you down this, and how'd you get into this too? Because I don't hear a lot of people talking about, I think it's picking up momentum, but it seems like you're talking about all the right things from what I've been hearing in the industry. Myself, I've been on this journey for probably about a year and a half, similar to where you are as this AI switch shift and this pace and stuff. So
I think it was twofold.
You're spending thousands to make the phone ring, but if your CSRs aren't picking up or converting, you might as well light it on fire. And what are the largest businesses in the country doing about this? They use Avoca, the leading AI platform in the trades. $100 million businesses like H.L. Bowman are operating with only 9 CSRs because Avoca handles up to 80% of the calls. Plus, Avoca follows up with your leads, grades your CSR calls, and helps you strategize. So my suggestion, go with the leading company. Check out avoca.ai. That's avoca.ai. Click the link below. To the point, listeners, listen up. What if the biggest thing holding back your business isn't marketing or hiring, but your bennies? The benefits for home service companies, a better 401k can be the difference between great techs and losing them to the shop right down the street. Basic Capital, our newest sponsor, is the only 401k built to actually put your team on a real path to retirement. Companies that switch over see higher participation, happier teams, and dramatically low turnover because your crew finally gets a plan that's a true benefit, not just a checkbox. Don't wait until your best people walk. Make the move and click the link below to get 12 months with zero employer fees when you join Basic Capital.
I've just been in circles where it's come up. Jimmy, you know, his son has Recreate AI. It's a company, and he works with us on our web traffic. So when somebody logs into our website and asks a question, he captures it. His booking rate is incredible. And so Tyner went to Colorado School of Mines. He graduated 2019, same age as my middle son. He played football there, but he's really brilliant on computers and stuff. And so he brought some new information that Jimmy and I were able to kind of talk to him about. And this has been a couple of years back. And then a friend of ours named Pawan, who, you know, I don't know if y'all ever heard of PulseM before. PulseM was really a good online reputation management. And what they did was they ranked your technicians based upon the reviews. And it was a powerful deal that we used for a long time. But he is local. He's in Dallas. And so I interact with him a lot as well. And he founded Pixie. And, you know, he's been telling me for years, hey, AI is going to change, you know, how you guys market, how you help people find out who you are. And so those were just early conversations. And then, you know, and I'm kind of old school, dude. I'm not very technical. When I have a marketing call, Chris, you'll appreciate this. They'll bring these massive data sets, right? So Wrench is a big organization. And so there's a lot of horsepower around data and talking to Tenuity and talking to these organizations. Dude, here's where I'm at. I'm like, I need 3 calls a day per tech. Like, that's my marketing strategy. I don't care how you get them. I really don't. Like, I'm disinterested. I don't want to see the data sets. I got other things to do. So as an operator, I'm kind of like, hey, what is most practical? And so I heard AI, really didn't understand it. Then one day I go and look at Claude, and I can't even sleep that night because I'm like, that was frightening. I mean, dude, wow. This AI stuff is weird. And, you know, and so then I start leaning in and going, well, I need to pay attention. People have been telling me this. So about 6 months ago, I would say my temperature kind of went up, and I was like, you know what, if I don't like get ahead of this, I'm going to get left behind. And I really feel like, how do I capitalize on it? Like we have AI in our call center now, and we use a company called Lace, and you know, so our agent is Lacey. If you call, you might talk to her. If the phones aren't answered, you might get to talk to Lacey. But you know, if you'd asked me like 5 years ago, if we'd have like a bot answering the phone, I would have been like, what? You know, this ain't the Jetsons yet, you know, But now I'm like, man, I'm going to ride a drone to work one day. You know, I'm like, that may happen before I die. My parking spot may be a drone. So I think it's just kind of, it's like the longer it goes, the more momentum it gets. And so now I feel like it's imminent. Like we have to embrace this AI movement or we're going to not be relevant in the market. Not, you can still go run a good service company. You can not do any technology and put ads out and probably still make $10 million because people need the services. But I think to optimize, you know, you probably feel the pressure I do. Like I have 400 families depending on me to make good decisions.
100%.
And so that pressure I can't afford to leave. Yes.
Every day you got to fill
that volume. I can't afford to leave. Yeah. That's what I always tell the marketing, like the big marketing people. I'm like, dude, come here for a week and go out in the yard and tell the electrician that he's got to go home because I don't have enough calls. Or go tell four plumbers that they're on call. You know, you just hang out with us for a little while, but sorry, we don't have calls. To me, that is like the one thing that just really eats at me is when I got to walk the yard in the morning and go, hey, I'm sorry, it's slow. You know, I wish I could go, hey guys, you can work as long as you want. We got calls till 10 o'clock, you know? And I think to do that, we're in a transition from where, you know, PPC, LSA, that was the play that worked. In our market, Chris, what's amazing is the competition's driven the price per lead so high that you almost go, man, is it worth it to have an $800 lead? I mean, yep. I have an $800 lead and I got a $300 ticket. Well, that's really not good business.
No, your call efficiency has to be off the charts and your average ticket for that person running that call needs to be high. Like there's so many things that have to line up perfectly. I get it.
And right now we're doing good. Like we had a terrible May and June's crushing it. But you know, the thing we can't ever talk about is the weather, which always blows my mind. You know, you have meetings, they go, we can't talk about the weather. I'm like, and that's like having an uncle with a fake leg and he comes over Thanksgiving. You tell your whole family, don't talk about his leg. You know, it's like he doesn't know he has a fake leg. Yeah. I think he's fully aware that he has a fake leg and you're like, don't say anything about the weather. And I'm like, dude, it's a part of what we do. Like
we talk about the weather a lot more than we should, but it is a reality to what happens in the business and what goes up or down. You know, I know we want to be very much like our membership. We want to sustain, we want to be able to operate all the time, but we are weather enhanced, right? We are all very much weather enhanced and that's the reality.
Well,
we can't depend on the weather, but we have to be weather enhanced. As an industry in all trades, really. I mean, really all the trades have their own time in the weather. HVAC a little bit more, plumbing drain does. You know, I don't know much about electrical. We're still figuring that out over here at Eco. But
well, when you figure it out, let me know. That is the hardest space to figure out. Like, I'm like, why do people call
it's
us?
It's got a great average sale when you can get in there and do some good stuff. But there's a lot of opportunity in that for sure, the electrical. And I think it's just been one of those trades that have been undervalued between the big two trades in plumbing and HVAC, right? For say, now it's starting to get some momentum. So, but I know we've hung out in this AI area for a while, and I do think that AdWords are just a spike to a level really high. I do think there's a potential that those costs get so high that it kind of collapses, that people just start failing on it more and more, and that Google or AdWords in general are going to have to come to reality that this is just not a sustainable cost. Now, I do know that they've been losing traffic in that area to LLMs, and I think that that's also drove the price up in some of these areas. But I think over time, it's going to have a fallout. There's just no sustainable way that I think that these prices stay the way they are with the way that margins are, the competitive environment, all these things are going on. And I think you're speaking to that right now, and you're adapting that through looking through these AI sediment things. And I'm assuming you probably spent a lot of time on Gemini or other sources just talking and asking questions about your own business, right? To understand what it's saying. And I've got a lot of that. I've geeked out on that for hours and hours at times, right?
Yeah.
Do you do all that to your management team? Do you do this? What I do is I'll do all this research on AI and then I'll download it into like a PDF or something or a Google Doc and send it and blast it to all of my managers so they know it. Have you done that
yet? I sent it yesterday. I can send you the same email I sent yesterday to my leadership team. I said, check this out.
Please send it to me. I want to see if it's similar to what I do. I'd love that.
I said, we're going to meet this week and talk about it because I want to know, hey, what's our five biggest threats? Like, where are we missing the mark? And AI will tell you quickly. Like, that's what's cool about it. Like, and keywords. This is fascinating to me. Like, we always talk about, hey, what keywords we need to use. And I'm like, hey, what if AI tells us what are the most predominant keywords in the market yesterday? Like, that's kind of weird to think I can get this information like now. Used to, you know, you had to do a market study and it was a month.
For Chris to get a call with you a month from now and then tell you a bunch of whatever and da-da. No, I'm joking.
Man, I'll tell you what, I mean, listen, I'm paying attention to it just because I'm not in the business anymore. I mean, I'm paying attention to it because I'm just genuinely interested in what's going to play out and like how, because there's still so much theory around what are we doing to manipulate? Because that's what really all this is manipulation of the keyword or the results. It's what is actually going to prove itself out because nothing has really had enough time to prove itself out yet. So we're seeing some success from things. Everything's changing so fast still. Like you can't, there's no, so I just want to see like all these AI only agencies. Like I keep hearing people talk about, Dan Martell talks about it. Tommy turned me on to him, but I don't know that I've seen it actually play out like with consistent success on the client end enough to be like, somebody's got to figure it out. I just don't think it's there yet. And people will say they have, but they have. It's not been long enough yet. So, hey, real quick, Aaron, do you know what time it is?
It's time for some questions to wrap up here, right?
It is time for the VIP final three. What do you think, Aaron? You think that one will stick? The VIP final three.
All right, you got them.
The VIP final three. Bubba, what this means is we have three remaining questions that inquiring minds in the industry want to know, need to know from your perspective. Are you ready to tackle these last three questions, Bubba?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you think you are, we're going to find
out. I will give it a shot. How's that?
Perfect. It's like all I'm asking for is the most honest answer out of you, which I know you will give. Okay, so number one is what part of the home services industry is broken, but nobody wants to admit it?
What part of the industry is broken, but nobody wants to admit it? I would say transparency. Like, I would say that there is a lot of people that, you know, do things that probably they'd be terrified if people knew. And I think that tarnishes, you know, the whole, I think people are like skeptical sometimes when we show up, like they're already, you know, it's like, oh no, the contractor's coming over. And I think that's something that we could overcome.
Okay. That was a very PC answer. But you're talking about when you say you're talking about decisions that companies might be making that might potentially could lean on the unethical side or sides they'd be embarrassed if someone actually knew that they ran their business that way. And there, that also gives the industry a bad name. So when they show up, there's this preconceived notion of what's going to happen to the house.
Yeah. I think just transparency around, hey, this is who we are. We have an opportunity to go and provide a service at a high level in exchange for, you know, compensation for that. And I think just being above board, I know, you know, just talking to guys, I've heard ideas thrown out that I'm just like, man, I wouldn't do that. You know, it's manipulative. It's not honest. And so, you know, PC would, you know, like you said, I'm saying there are things that are broken around, you know, how pricing is done or, you know, warranty stuff that's not real. And I just think the we need to fix that. I would like for not just Baker's reputation to be good, but home services in general, like that we're trusted people, that our guys are professional, that we're going to do things the right way, that we can be a trusted partner for your family.
Yeah. And when people are good, like people would, you know, Google reviews, there's one way, but now like, I'm in Claude every day. I use Claude for something every single day. And when I go to use something, I'll ask it, you know, to give me the reviews. And the way it breaks down reviews is so amazing for companies. And that what's interesting is I believe the consumer that uses it actually trusts it more than a Google search. Yeah. For whatever reason, like I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, Claude or ChatGPT or whatever you're using gave me the breakdown, and here's the bullet points on why they gave me the breakdown, and here's the positives, here's the negatives. And like, to me, it's like, oh, well, okay, cool. Now I just believe it. And so a decision is being made faster based off of the result of the search on the LLM versus Google. It's an interesting place to live in. So I agree with you. This kind of goes back to everything you've just been saying about, you know, being transparent about how you run your business and just being about true, legit value. And it's going to find all the little things, and it's going to take it and bundle it all up for you, and, you know, in about 2 seconds, and spit out the answer to you and uncover everything. So maybe a lot of ways that transparency actually helps start to change the narrative of the industry. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think that's what it
is. So what would you say on that one?
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
What'd I say?
Yeah.
Or Aaron?
What would you say is broken?
We're asking Chris. Chris is outside.
What would you say is broken? You
know, I got to come to the show every week. Chris, you go.
I can only speak from my perspective, right? Because I've never run a business as big as your, a contracting business as big as yours, or in a marketing company, you know, of similar size. But here's my perspective, and you actually talked a little bit about this on the show, and I think that there's some brokenness in what you said around marketing, and I do think that as a guy who lived in that space, now I'll preface this by saying when Ann and I ran the business of Rhino, when we really scaled it, we looked at it through the same lens that both you guys do about your employees. Like, you have a mouth to feed, and we would run the business the same way. It wasn't just a logo that they saw. There's human beings behind that logo that are depending on us, and their livelihood is depending on us and how we show up each day to fill their board. That's legit how we ran the business. So, but there were certainly times when even if we gave our best, that we could not get it done because there was nothing to go get based on either maybe spend, or if it was competitor spend that you have no control over. Like, there's variables that we have no control over, even if we're at our best. So that's why people get pissed at marketing, because they're like, oh, well, we're slowing down. How do you feel about, like, I'd be like, no. Like, we gave it 100% and we still couldn't get it done. Maybe that wasn't enough. I don't know. But I still think that marketing in today's world should still, you both got to participate in it. It's not you can't just spend the money with the agency and then let them spit out their beautiful reports to you. Like, you have to participate in it. It's not 2021. It's not 2022 where, like, the faucet was just on. Like, that ship sailed.
So, but
everyone still wants to blame marketing. In some cases, it's probably true. I know Tenuity. I've had lots of conversations around Tenuity for a lot of years. And because of some of the other players who had to use Tenuity, and I had to work through things with them in the early years when Tenuity came on. Geiger used them early on. So I just don't think there's some brokenness around how your partnership to marketing company is supposed to be and what you're responsible for the, as a contractor versus a marketing company.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And look, all of our partners, I want to say this to be honest about things that are broken. I don't think that people are like not trying. Like, I think it's a complex market and it's not easy to solve. You know, digital used to be easy and it's not. It's complicated and we're trying to figure it out. We're still spending a lot of money on an area where I'm going. We're just not getting the same. So I do think that there's probably something that'll be a breakthrough. Maybe it's AI. Maybe it's, you know, movement. Mark Cuban, I want to say this because it's important to this conversation. Mark Cuban said something that I read last week, and he was talking about over the next 3 years, AI is going to be super aggressive. And he said there's going to be a revolution or an awakening that drives us back to conversations. And he talked about human interactions are going to probably become more important. I mean, we all complain about our kids. I mean, I don't know how old your kids are, but we talk about, you know, they text, they don't call, they don't interact. They grew up in this digital generation where I grew up, graduated in the 80s. I still knew what a handshake was, how to sit down and have a conversation. And I think there's going to be a resurgence around that. And I think that also will impact marketing. Like, you know, we talked about organic, we talked about just being present in the community. So I do think that maybe that's been broken for a while, but I do think that AI is going to push us toward craving more human interaction at some point. And I think that's a good thing for the industry.
100% agree.
Yeah.
We're not going to get to three, I don't think, Chad. Or Jesus, Aaron, I don't think we're going to get the three questions, buddy. So we're going to have to just pick one. Pick one of the last two and let's
Sorry for the long answer.
We're going to stay on it. What hill are you willing to die on as an operator, no matter what, as you operate Baker Brothers? Like, what is the hill you're willing to die on?
We'll always do what we say. Like, I'll die on the hill of guaranteed. Like, there's no, you know, limit to not making it right. If we make a mistake, we'll own it. I don't even care how much it costs. Like, just the integrity hills, what I would say.
And that's a long play, right? Because you have to be able to sustain. Well, hopefully you don't make a bunch of mistakes that you're having. Yeah. But I think that your 100% cashback or satisfaction guarantee represents that. If it's truly what it is, and you're truly willing to say, oh yeah, yeah. So I'm a big believer in. Yeah, and my mantra having been for so long, reputation over revenue as we're building this business. I legit believe that. And man, I had to write some big checks that were super scary times because an employee made a mistake. Well, I'm still responsible for it. And it's like, but I genuinely believe like that's what helped build our reputation is we same hill. We would die on that same hill. Like let's try and try to encourage your team to speak up faster if they made a mistake, make it safe enough for them to speak up to say, hey, I made a mistake. So that way we can actually get to the solution faster.
Yeah, I agree.
I just kind of for that. So we do the same thing here. Like, I think it's important over time. We make mistakes. I've owned some big ones. But I've also tried to tell our team is like, look, I'm never going to terminate somebody for making a mistake.
Sure.
As long as you tell me, right? You tell me, you talk to me, you share it, you get ahead of it quickly. Let's get ahead of this. Let's not try to cover up something if there is, right? And I think that that's important that they understand that too, and that's a cultural thing in the business. And it sounds like you spent your organization spent decades building that relationship. And I agree. I think that's something you want to die on the hill is if you're running a reputable organization and there's mistakes made, you just own it. And I always tell our team, I was like, look, we make mistakes, but I think the one thing that we've done really, really well, at least in our market against a lot of our competition, I guess I'll use for lack of a better term, is that we never run from it. We never hide from it. We never try to avoid it. We lean right into it and you solve it. I'm assuming very much a reputation you built, and that's the reason why you've been able to have and sustain a business that you guys have culturally wise for so long.
Yeah, I don't want to be the guy that blows it. We started in 45. I don't want to be on the news. I don't want to be the Titanic legacy.
I'm the guy that started this, and I don't want to be the guy to blow it. So I get it.
Yeah, I'm like, no, it's not going down with me. But that's a great question. I would say if I had a mini hill, another hill would be people. Like, people matter more than anything else. You know, people run our business, and I think we got to really be attentive to the people that we call teammates.
This isn't one of, by the way, that's actually a common answer that I think that we'll probably hear quite a bit about it being the people. I'm going to slip in one more. That's not technically part of the VIP final three. We usually ask a question around most margin leakage, but I don't want to ask right now. I'm actually going to ask something else, because when I listened to a podcast when I was prepping for this, you had, when you, you know, you come from preaching, right? From ministry into plumbing. Right. And so from, you know, multiple 20 some odd years of it, that's a heck of a change. And so to make that drastic of a change and come into this now contracting world, I mean, you're in, I think I listened to it, you're in like maybe 6-7 months, something like that, was where you first started to feel like, oh man, like, did I make the right call here? Am I like, is this actually going to be what I thought it's going to be? Am I going to be as impactful here? As that's a heck of a change. And so I think it was a situation where you had a, you know, somebody who just wouldn't didn't want to hear what you had to say, or didn't want to, you know, do what you were suggesting to do, or whatever that thing was. But you kind of ran into your first moment of like, uh-oh, did I make a bad decision? Now, you said, obviously this has been many, many years ago at this point. And I think what happened is you were still trying to earn some trust, you know, of people to want to listen to you. I don't know the situation, but now to think all the, you know, that was early, early on in your entry into the business. It seemed like that was the first like trip up that you had in your journey from, you know, ministry into the trades. So here's what I want to ask you is, then, as simple as it can, what would you give your younger self? What advice would you give your younger self before starting your business? Like, to those maybe who are out there that are new in business or just getting started or still early on in the business, like, what advice would you give your younger self if you were in their shoes?
Yeah. I would write down the non-negotiables, like right out of the gate. Hey, what, you asked me what hill I die on. I would go, hey, what is it that I'm trying to achieve here? And is it a, you know, is it an impact goal? Is it to provide, you know, a life for families? Is it to reach a certain, you know, valuation? Is it to, you know, is it to provide service that's extraordinary? I would write down those things that you say, hey, these are the things that I want to achieve. And I would like hone that in, and I just would be not willing to negotiate around those things. Like, where you go, I think when you're a young guy in the business, shiny objects are huge temptation. You hear about this new idea or this thing. And I think the simplicity of our business is we are a service to people, and we go and we provide a service and we get paid for it and we come back. And I think when you start complicating it, you lose your way. Like Jimmy used to always say this, if you make a really good hamburger, you need to keep making hamburgers. And sometimes, you know, you go, well, maybe we could get into this. I see young guys all the time. They get multifaceted before they're ready. Like, they haven't mastered one thing, and then they want to do four things. And you're like, now they're doing pest control, and now they're doing lawn care, and they're going, you know, and then all of a sudden it was their plumbing they were good at, and that starts slipping because they took their eyes off the main thing. So if I told a young person, it'd be keep the main thing, define what the main thing is to you, and be absolutely committed to it no matter what.
I love the thought around non-negotiables. Like, I think that's so important. And I remember whenever we were going into our deal with Rhino, when we were going into our private equity partnership, is I was able to be put in the position to give my non-negotiables. That was a cool feeling. And I'm glad we stuck to that over all these years. 'Cause then you feel good about when you go to bed, like, I knew I built the business the right way. And 'cause how you make your money is as important as how much money you make, right? If not more important. And I truly believe that. So listen, man, I'm glad to finally get you on here. I'm sorry it took me so damn long to get locked in on this thing.
Oh, it's all good. It's supposed to be today.
Yeah. It's supposed to be today.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. Appreciate the conversation. Love the insight. And, imagine all your success that you've had individually and the success you're having in the market that you guys are doing today. So really great to get a chance to follow up with you. Love to get that email so I can see if they're similar to what I send out.
I'd love to get to work. Yeah, we have a lot of same size businesses. It'd be great to benchmark with you.
Let's do it. We'll connect. Chris will get us in a text together and we'll chat. All right. Appreciate your time today, my man. Thank you.
Great. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you, man. Keep on doing your thing. I think it's cool, man, that you get to do now. You get to do preaching, just you get to do it through preaching through the pipes, right? Yeah. Just looks a little different.
Yeah. My youth ministry looks way different, but they're still here. It's, hey, if you're ever here, we'll get lunch. Right. Good to see y'all.
Absolutely. And to all our listeners, look, man, this is so cool. I mean, this guy come from ministry into the now preaching to the, you know, the technicians. And now he's at the, you know, he's running a big business down the incredibly competitive market. He's got a peer group he leans on. Like, all these things are not complicated. You just got to find your group, you know. And to Aaron's point, I don't know how easy it is to find someone local who's willing to kind of openly share, but it certainly doesn't hurt to ask, right? And I think, see, because you can find someone across the United States, guaranteed. Like, unless you just don't try, you could easily create your own peer group. But finding someone in your own market that understands your exact, your market situation, I think there's a lot of value in that. If you could, I think now's better than any time than ever to ask, right? You know, given that it's hard for probably everyone. So, but, you know, even the simplest things of just, you know, being a, you know, being transparent, you know, and doing, running the business a clean way and understanding that maybe marketing looks a little bit different today. Like, you know, just, you know, maybe don't focus on all the things. Like, find one thing and just keep chipping away at it. And then I'd say to, you know, Bubba's point, you know, to his younger self, like, maybe just try and get your first trade down and feel really good about it before you start trying to move on to something else and making it more complicated. So, well, listen, you know, until next time, until we see you back here in the VIP room, who knows who the surprise guest will be on the next episode. But I appreciate you, Bubba. Appreciate you, AG, and to our listeners. You listen, don't talk about it. Be about it.
What's the password?
Don't talk about it. Be about it.